In the city, she said. Look at me. At me. There's a wizard, isn't there? You girls are always skulking off to talk to wizards. Where does he live? The woman turned a tear-stained face towards her, fighting against every instinct that told her the princess didn't exist.
Wizard, yes, Cutwell, in Wall Street.
Kaylee's lips compressed into a thin smile. She wondered where her cloaks were kept, but cold reason told her it was going to be a damn sight easier to find them herself than try to make her presence felt to the maid. She waited, watching closely, as the woman stopped sobbing, looked around her in vague bewilderment, and hurried out of the room. She's forgotten me already, she thought. She looked at her hands. She seemed solid enough. It had to be magic. She wandered into her robing room and experimentally opened a few cupboards until she found a black cloak and a hood. She slipped them on and darted out into the corridor and down the servants' stairs. She hadn't been this way since she was little. This was the world of linen cupboards, bare floors, and dumb waiters. It smelled of slightly stale crusts. Killy moved through it like an earthbound spook. She was aware of the servants' quarters, of course, in the same way that people are aware at some level in their minds of the drains or the guttering, and she would be quite prepared to concede that although servants all looked pretty much alike, they must have some distinguishing features by which their nearest and dearest could presumably identify them. But she was not prepared for sights like Moghedron, the wine butler, whom she had hitherto seen only as a stately presence moving like a galleon under full sail, sitting in his pantry with his jacket undone and smoking a pipe. A couple of maids ran past her without a second glance, giggling. She hurried on, aware that in some strange way she was trespassing in her own castle. And that, she realised, was because it wasn't her castle at all. The noisy world around her, with its steaming laundries and chilly stillrooms, was its own world. She couldn't own it. Possibly it owned her. She took a chicken leg from the table in the biggest kitchen, a cavern lined with so many pots that by the light of its fires it looked like an armoury for tortoises, and felt the unfamiliar thrill of theft. Theft in her own kingdom. And the cook looked straight through her, eyes as glazed as jugged ham. Kaylee ran across the stable yards and out of the back gate past a couple of sentries whose stern gaze quite failed to notice her. Out in the streets it wasn't so creepy, but she still felt oddly naked. It was unnerving being among people who were going about their own affairs and not bothering to look at one when one's entire experience of the world hitherto was that it revolved around one. Pedestrians bumped into one and rebounded away, wondering briefly what it was they'd hit, and one several times had to scurry out of the way of the path of wagons. The chicken leg hadn't gone far to fill the hole left by the absence of lunch, and she filched a couple of apples from a stall, making a mental note to have the chamberlain find out how much apples cost and send some money down to the stall holder. Dishevelled, rather grubby, and smelling slightly of horse dung, she came at last to Cutwell's door. The knocker gave her some trouble. In her experience, doors opened for you. There were special people to arrange it. She was so distraught she didn't even notice that the knocker winked at her. She tried again, and thought she heard a distant crash. After some time, the door opened a few inches, and she caught a glimpse of a round, flustered face, topped with curly hair. Her right foot surprised her by intelligently inserting itself in the crack. "I demand to see the wizard," she announced. "Pray admit me this instant."
"He's rather busy at present," said the face. "Were you after a love potion?"
"A what?"
We've got a special on Cutwell's Shield of Passion ointment," said the face, and winked in a startling fashion. "Provides your wild oats while guaranteeing a crop failure, if you know what I mean."
Kelly bridled. "No," she lied coldly, "I do not."
"Ram rub, maiden's long stop, belladonna eye drops."
"I demand—"
"Sorry, we're closed," said the face, and shut the door.
Kelly withdrew her foot just in time. She muttered some words that would have amazed and shocked her tutors, and thumped on the woodwork. The tattoo of her hammering suddenly slowed as realization dawned. He'd seen her. He'd heard her. She beat on the door with renewed vigor, yelling with all the power in her lungs. A voice by her ear said,
"It won't work. He's very stubborn."
She looked around slowly and met the impertinent gaze of the door knocker. It waggled its metal eyebrows at her and spoke indistinctly through its wrought iron ring. "I am Princess Kaylee, heir to the throne of Stolat," she said haughtily, holding down the lid on her terror, "and I don't talk to door furniture."
"Well,